Once again, this evening, we're kind of looking at different passages just to kind of as an encouragement in our prayers, to be challenged in that. We know we need to pray, but often our flesh gives us 101 excuses not to. And it's certainly it's not something that we know very well, and we need to become more and more exercised in. But sometimes we need a bit of motivation and encouragement in that, and God's Word provides that for us. So I'm just going to read the chapter and then draw out some thoughts from it. In verse 1 it says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this passage, and we just pray that you would speak to us from it, and we would seek your face, and we just pray that in the situations that we encounter, Lord, that you would come down, and that you would do what only you can do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see in this passage just Isaiah is just, he's speaking to God, but he's just asking God to come down into his situation. He was a prophet that was preaching for his nation, seeing how his nation was destroying itself by its bad choices, by its rejecting God's ways and going their own way. And he's asking for God to intervene. And it's, I think, something that we can certainly relate to in our day with our nation, that we want God to work. And in this, we kind of see the thought of just, we know that God is present everywhere at once. There's no place that we can ever be away from his presence. And that can be a great comfort to us, but we understand from what it says in the Bible is that there are times where God just kind of shows up, where his presence is felt, where it says that thy name, make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. That there's sometimes where God works and does something, where even people that are non-believers, even people that are mockers and scorners and skeptical about anything about God, that things happen and they say, okay, this cannot be explained by any other way than God is here. And so it's something that I think many times that we would pray for, that God would do that, that in a certain situation that we're in, where we don't have the solution, things that we've tried have failed, and we just say, Lord, we need you to come down. We need you to intervene in this situation and help us. And we see what it says there in verse 4. It says, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. And we talked a bit about this morning when we were considering the idea of the power of the Holy Spirit, that we think of how with the early church, of how Jesus told them that you need to wait until the Spirit comes upon you. And so they spent 10 days praying together and waiting for God to do something amongst them. And these were people that were not... Jesus gave them the commission to be witnesses, but they didn't have a lot of courage. They didn't have a lot of skill. Most of them, we think a lot of the disciples were illiterate fishermen. And it's like, well, how are they going to be able to put together some kind of message that will actually move anyone? And so they prayed, and we find that the Holy Spirit, that God came down at Pentecost. And it was just, they were transformed. And everybody started to notice what is going on with these people, and then they're able to share the truth, and then in that one day we find 3,000 people trust Jesus as their Savior. And so it's an incredible thing what he does, and it comes that thought as we wait on him, and really in many times that's something that we don't, when it comes to prayer, that's usually not something that we ever get to that point, because for us prayer is something, it's like, okay, I've got so much to do in my day that I got only this block of time for prayer, and kind of I'll give God kind of a list and hope that he kind of hears it and deals with it. But it's really more this idea that we see here where it's like you need an answer from God, and so you're praying for that. And it's when we get to a place of weakness, a place of desperation. We see that in Isaiah 40. It's, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That, well, there's times where we have no strength. We say, Lord, I need your help. That then, that's when he gives it. And it says that thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, we know that if we have a close relationship with God, if we're serving the Lord, because we have that close relationship, he delights in answering our prayers, that's what we desire to be, we kind of get into this thought that it's like how can I be a righteous enough person, a good enough person for God to actually want to hear my prayers? And all of this, we realize if we're in sin, we know that it's sin, and we're continuing in sin and not repenting of it, not showing any kind of remorse for it, then that does form a barrier between us and God. But we see with Isaiah's attitude here, he's recognizing that as a people that they've been sinning, and it's kind of the thing. He says that really there's amongst them, there's not any that are really that righteous and everything that God, like that they could kind of earn God's favor in that way. And he says that we're all as an unclean thing, that all our righteousness, all the good things that we do, and that's so often, even when we do our best, when it's in our flesh and our own strength, we know there's still, it's tainted, it's polluted, it's not enough, that our righteousness are still as filthy rags, and our iniquities take us away, that we have different bad habits that always crop up that seem to take us away from where we should be, hinder us from our time in prayer. And he says, verse 7, there is none that calleth upon thy name and stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. And you kind of see that picture of just calling upon our name is to pray for to God and to cry out to him for help. And to stir himself up to take hold of thee, that really the phrase there, it's like to stir up. You kind of have the picture where maybe God wants us to get up early in the morning to spend time with him in prayer. And but what do we want to do? It's just, well, we're going to hit the snooze button. It's like we just want our sleep more than that. And instead, this idea that we need to take hold of God, that he has what we need, and we can't, we need to get a hold of God for our sake, for the sake of our families, for the sake of our community, for the sake of our nation. And he says that thou hast hid thy face from us and consumed us because of our iniquities. And that's really, we look at what was going on in Isaiah's day amongst his nation and realize that our nation is in no better place, in many ways may even be in a worse place than his was. And so it isn't something where we can go to God and say, well, I'm such a good person, I've done everything good, I'm on the right track, well, you should just like bless everything and fix everything because of us. That's not really the... If we're trying to prove how good we are, if we're trying to get God to help us based on our righteousnesses, that's going to be a fairly unconvincing argument. But we see with Isaiah that he's not asking God these things based on our righteousness, he's asking him based on God's mercy. And he says, Lord, you're our Father, and you've made us, we're the work of your hand. And he says, just don't continue to be wrathful against us. Don't always remember our iniquity. He asks for forgiveness. He asks for mercy. He asks for grace. And he asks God to have compassion upon them. And that's really, as we see this, as we read this, we want these words to be our words. We want the heart that is seen here to be our heart, where we're asking God to intervene on our behalf. We know he can do great things, and we stir ourselves up to take hold of him, that we wait upon him. We say, Lord, I'm seeking you. I can't go out of your presence until you've provided me with some kind of blessing of what I need. And it isn't where, like, yes, we're seeking to sanctify ourselves, purify ourselves, but we know in many ways we need God to come into our lives in a meaningful way to really transform us and give us the victory over so much of that sin and other things. And so as we read this, it just getting that thought of just how much we need God, both in just our present situation personally, but for the sake of our community here, for the sake of our province, for the sake of our nation, we need God's help. And we can't go on any longer without getting his help. And so it's having that attitude of prayer where we plead to God, we ask him to come. And as the Lord sees our heart, he knows our need, and a lot of times he's He's waiting for us to wait upon Him, where that we're not willing to accept anything else than have Him intervene, that we're looking to Him alone. We're not trying to fix it ourselves or provide a solution. We say, Lord, we need You to come down. We need You to show Yourself strong on our behalf. And so as we read this passage, as we meditate on it, that's what our heart's desire should be, is to see God work and to seek Him and pray for Him for His mercy upon us, that He would show Himself, show His power, to the point that even those that don't believe in Him would be willing to acknowledge that He's real and that He's at work.